President Biden's infrastructure law paved the way for billions of dollars to go towards upgrading the country's water infrastructure. That funding will go through a loan and grant program administered by the states. And new research from the Natural Resources Defense Council looks at how that loan program has allocated funding in recent years and who has and has not benefited. Becky Hammer is Senior Attorney and Deputy Director of Federal Water Policy at the Natural Resources Defense Council. She co-authored the report. Becky, welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So we've been told our country's water infrastructure is aging. Just briefly, can you tell us what exactly that means? Like, what needs to be fixed?
Much of our country's water infrastructure and its wastewater infrastructure was constructed many decades ago, in some places over 100 years ago. And in many communities, our infrastructure isn't keeping up with the demands of population growth, of climate change, and other stresses on the system. So what we see is things like raw sewage sometimes will back up into people's basements. Some communities are dealing with sewage overflows into local waterways. On the drinking water side, of course, contaminants can make their way into people's tap water. Broken pipes cause spills all the time. So we really are facing a pretty critical need for increased infrastructure funding in this country.
And so what types of water projects are funded by this loan program?
So our study looked at the Clean Water State Revolving Fund, which is the funding source for wastewater infrastructure. And billions of dollars go through that program every year. It helps communities do things like repair sewer pipes, upgrade wastewater treatment plants, and eliminate sewage overflows.
So through this loan program, your report looked at the years from 2011 to 2020, almost a decade, and which communities are getting funded for these wastewater projects. Can you tell us who is getting the money?
So we looked at the correlation between certain community characteristics and the likelihood of getting money through this program. So we looked at population size, median income, and race. And while about one in every 20 municipalities in the country got funding through this program over the period we studied, we found that not all kinds of communities were equally likely to get funds. And most notably, we found a small but statistically significant correlation between a community's white population and its likelihood of receiving funds. So in other words, the whiter a community was, the better chance it had of getting money. And we also found that larger cities had a better chance of getting money than small towns.
Hmm. And I also read in your report that funding is, quote, disproportionately failing to reach small and non-white communities. Spell it out for us. Who is being overlooked here?
So communities that are smaller and communities that have larger populations of color are disproportionately having a harder time accessing funding through this program. Yet we know that communities of color, and especially Black communities, along with small towns, are often the communities that are most in need of financial assistance when it comes to addressing infrastructure challenges.
I mean, I'm thinking, and many people might be, the water crisis in Jackson, Mississippi. Before that, there was Flint, Michigan, both places majority Black. You know, your report also reminds us many of the communities without access to properly functioning sanitation are also in areas with large populations of people of color. You know, it really makes one think, no properly functioning sanitation in the United States. Is this what these grants are supposed to fix or upgrade?
They are, yes. And it is really a tragedy that they are not reaching the communities that need them the most. The examples you mentioned certainly are high-profile examples of water and wastewater infrastructure failures. And I think they are consistent with the results that we found when we looked at the nationwide data, which is that certain types of communities, particularly with populations of large populations of color, are experiencing infrastructure failures because of underinvestment for many years.
You know, it's hard to think of anything but systemic racism here, Becky. Did you draw the same conclusion?
Well, it is hard not to see the connection. You know, it's important to remember that this is a program that's administered by the states, and each state has its own set of policies that determine which communities are going to be able to get funding. And the policies that they have on the books really affect the kind of projects that are able to access funds. And so when we think about systemic racism as, you know, a set of laws and policies that produce discriminatory outcomes, you know, this could be seen certainly as an example of that.
Becky Hammer is Senior Attorney and Deputy Director of Federal Water Policy at the Natural Resources Defense Council. Becky, thank you.
Thank you for having me.